This reading is on page 1155, 1155, Corinthians. What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? Everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Did the word of God originate with you, or are you the only people it has reached? If anybody thinks he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way.
For our second reading, we turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 4. And verse 43, which you can see is on page 1068. After 2 days, Jesus, left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he'd done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they'd also been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he's still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. And this was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee.
Well, good morning. Good morning. We're here again. If you were here last week, you would have heard a little bit about the first part of that chapter of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, and we're hearing about Paul talking to the Corinthian church about the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, and something about what the instruction was there. And so we're going to explore that a little bit more today by the rest of the chapter, and when he's in particular emphasizing order in worship. Now, I'm a little bit struck by one of those words that came this morning, which was from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I wonder if I should sit down and just wait and just ask for the power of God to come on us today. We'll have a chance to do that later. But I'll unpack a little bit about what Paul's saying. But it follows with this verse. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a whip or in love with a gentle spirit? Which one would you prefer, Christchurch? A whip or a gentle spirit? I pray that it's a gentle spirit. We were singing this morning in the hymn, ponder anew what the Almighty will do. And I think that's what we'll be exploring today. Now, you might want to have the Bible in front of you, because I'm going to be jumping around the reading a little bit. And you'll find that on page 1155 in the Bibles. And it's 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 26. And we shared this verse last week, actually, verse 26. What then shall we say? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. We talked about that word edify. It comes from the idea of from an edifice, from a building, and just putting building blocks on top of one another. So everything must be done so the church may be built up. It's not about you, it's about building up my church. And that idea about people coming together, I mean, that raises the question, what do you bring into worship? Because institutional church has created this thing where certain people prepare a service and then we come and we consume that which is provided. A bit like going to a restaurant and somebody else provides the meal. Well, in fact, what Paul's talking about here is something completely different, which is we share together. It's a bring and share. Good churchy word there. It's a bring and share. It's not, come on, entertain me or give me what you've prepared during the week. We do this together. And so we're going to explore that idea in a moment. Now, I know you're dying for me to address those verses. And thank you for the reading. I said, say it with gusto. The irony of who was reading it as well wasn't lost on a number of people. Now, if we remember last week, we had Paul talking to the Corinthians about a couple of things that they held as being true. And one was that tongues is really impressive because you get this noise and everybody will think, isn't that amazing? And when people come in who aren't believers, they'll think, that's amazing, I'll follow Christ. And Paul says, no. Tongues are for personal devotion. And a tongue, a word in tongues, this heavenly language, should only be spoken out if there's somebody there to interpret. And he says a bit more about that here. So he presents the Corinthian position, and then he turns it on its head. And the same with prophecy. They said that prophecy is just for the church. And Paul says, no. If people are hearing from God and giving these encouraging words over one another and building up the church, people will come in, they'll fall on their knees and say, God is here. He therefore emphasizes the need for a church to be prophetic. So he has this way of saying what it is the church has said and then giving a counter argument. Do you recognise that from last week? Okay, then. So, when we get to verse 34, and so you may want to have your Bibles open, this is what we read. Women should remain silent in churches. They're not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. I must ask my wife about that. That is the Corinthian position. Because the next verse starts with an interesting word, and that word is awe. Now, if you remember, we quoted last week from Joel. In fact, it was Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And Peter quoted from Joel, and Joel's prophecy didn't say men will prophesy. What did Joel say? Men and women will prophesy. It's for all. So let me give you two different stories, okay, contemporary stories. Here's the first one. Meghan Markle is a manipulative maniac who has stolen our prince and taken him away to a foreign country. Version one, okay. Or Harry has found love and peace after years of turmoil, and he is now happy and has had to pay the cost of leaving the country because of the media. Two different ways of looking at the same story. I'm not going to ask you which one of those you believe, but can you see what happened there? The word or gives a counter argument to whatever came before. So Paul has presented in verses 34 and 35 the Corinthian position, which is that women have got no place in speaking in church. And then he says, or, did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? Who is he directing those words to? The men. The men. Are you saying you're the only ones who hear from God? And his answer to both questions is no and no. Because verse 37 says, if anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am commanding is from the Lord. So Paul is not saying that women shouldn't speak in church. In particular, if they hear a prophecy, they shouldn't share it. He's saying that it is for everyone and anyone. And in our brokenness, he can use us. It's when I'm weak that I'm strong, Paul said. Convinced? Just checking. Okay, so that really, those verses are quite key actually to some of Paul's argument, which is, or they're an extension of his argument, which is that this is for everyone to bring into the gathering of worship to build up everyone in the church. Now, we were watching a bit of TV last night, and a program came on which was called Cheer, and it was about cheerleading in America. And it's a very competitive sport, very athletic, it's quite dangerous. And they had a coach on there who was basically saying, because you can only do it up to college level, and so after college you won't be doing cheerleading anymore and you won't be in competitions. And he was basically saying, this is the defining moment of these people's lives. And if they can't compete, this is my interpretation of what he said. Their lives are over. The defining moment is being in this competition and winning. And if they lose, then they are failures. So at that point, I went and did the washing up. Couldn't stand it anymore. It was a little bit intense. And I think there's a danger when dealing with these sorts of passages that you could go away feeling, this is the defining moment of my life. I have to speak in tongues and I have to hear from God and share it with the church. If that is the message you go away with, I have failed. Because that's not the message at all. It is an invitation from God to receive and to use gifts to build up the church. It's not going to be for everyone, and it's not going to be for everyone on every day. So please, please don't go away. This is the gentle spirit rather than the whip. Don't go away with the idea that it doesn't happen to me and therefore I'm not a proper Christian. That's absolutely not true. But on any one Sunday or any other gathering, anybody can bring something which can build up the church. And what Paul's talking about in these verses is how we do that in an orderly way, because what was going on in Corinth was chaos. And it was leaving people behind, and it was hierarchical in a way that was just not the way in which church should be. Now, if we jump to verse 39, we see Paul's conclusion of this whole section. Therefore, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid tongues. So tongues are good, keep them quiet, unless there's an interpretation. And be eager to prophesy, be eager to hear from God and to share that with others, because it will build them up. It will strengthen them, it will encourage them. But, in verse 40, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So having established what should happen, he's now talking in this section about how it should happen. Okay, so, be eager to hear from God. When I started this process of discerning for ordination, I went to see the director of ordinands over a prolonged period of time. And I remember at one point he looked at the church that I was a member of. He said, "Oh, you're an evangelical and a charismatic." I went, "Am I?" I didn't know what these words meant. So it started from very humble beginnings. And I, along the way, have seen lots of good practice and quite a bit of bad practice. And so you learn from that along the way. And I remember in particular coming to the New Wine Core Group that Charles used to lead here. I've taken that over as well now. And we would meet once a month. And then at the end, we'd gather into small groups and we'd pray for one another. And so there might be four or five in a group. And we go round and we pray for each in turn. And I remember that moment, you know, when first person has a word and the second person has a word and the third, and it comes to you and it's your turn. And you're sitting there going, "What am I going to say? Everybody else has said something. It's going to be me." And what I learned over time is actually, if you don't have anything to say, don't say anything. Because what I was doing was making stuff up. So that I didn't feel left out. And that's absolutely not the way it's supposed to be. We might hear from God, we might not hear from God. And Chris Hicken, who was leading at 9 o'clock, said that on the way out. He said, "So what you're saying is we don't have to hear from God?" Yes. We don't have to. He will use us when he wants to use us. We just need to be available to do so. So we should never feel the pressure to say something. And actually to sit in silence in God's presence is as much prayer as babbling on like the pagans do. So only speak if we have something to say. And very often, and it's happened a lot here, there is already a prophetic ministry within this church. So really what we're talking about here is more of that. Is more of that. We have these words which are shared, these pictures, and we do that for every service, every Sunday. But there's something about that affirmation. I brought in a picture of, or I had a picture actually, about day two, I think, when I was here. And I got a very strong sense of a picture of a dam with water building up behind it. We haven't mentioned that for a while, but it's still there. And it was in here. It was in this space here. And that resonated with at least a couple of people who said, "Oh, about 7 years ago, we just had this picture of water flowing out these doors out into the community of Purley." God's going to do that. God's going to make that happen if we're willing to go with it. So we get this picture, and it's an affirmation of something which happened a long time ago. And the same thing happened when I had some prophetic words were prayed over me in coming here, months before I even had a chance to apply. And it was that idea about turning over the soil. And I had this picture, which I put up on my first Sunday here, and it was of a farmer in a field. And somebody in the band audibly gasped because they had had that exact same picture 10 years before. Not just one like it, but the exact same picture. Just the wonders of Google. God can use Google. Let me see. So this is why Paul wants prophecy to be something in the churches, because it builds us up and that affirmation. So if we go to the central sections, going back to verse 27, we can deal with tongues first and then prophecy. Verse 27, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or three at most should speak one at a time and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. I just want to try something for a moment. This section here, I wonder if you would mind saying yabba over and over and over again. Okay. This section here, if you can say dabba over and over and over again. And in this section here, you can say do over and over and over again. And you lot can say rhubarb or whatever you want to say. Okay? Let's start. Over here, yabba. Yabba, 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 yabba. Dabba, 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 dabba. Bit louder. Do, 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 do. Rhubarb, rhubarb, rhubarb. Bit louder. Just wondering if anybody's praying in tongues now hasn't done before. It doesn't make sense, does it? And that's the sort of thing that was happening in the Corinthian church. So people were shouting out and making noises and whatever. And just if anybody were to walk in, as Paul said in the previous section, they think we're mad. What is going on here? So he demands order in worship, not chaos. Now, I remember being in a meeting where a chap called Rod Anderson, an American pastor, was speaking, and there was a prayer time at the end, and lots of people were speaking out in tongues really loudly. And it just was odd, strange. And I felt a bit out of place, really. I think, what is going on here? But I do remember a time when I, in my placement church, when I was at college in Nottingham, St. Nick's, and we had an away weekend, and it was led by Sandy Miller, who was the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton before Nicky Gumbel, and he was leading this session. We just had some song worship, the band was still up there, and he was leading this session, and he just had a little time waiting on God. And Andy, who was the bassist, just suddenly started speaking out this tongue. And it was spoken in a way that just had this authority. Now, I don't know if there was an interpretation. It wasn't shared with the rest of the group there, as far as I'm aware. But hopefully there was. But it was just said in a way that it just sounded like it was coming from God. There was something different. A very quiet sort of guy. But he just spoke out these words. And so it can be a situation where a tongue will build up the church. But the basic rule is, don't speak out unless there will be an interpretation. Well, how will you know? Well, unless God has told you there is somebody here to interpret this tongue, keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. Because, or share it with the leader. Because otherwise, it's going to be of no use to the church. So if in doubt, zip it. And one other point about praying in tongues, particularly if you're praying for other people, we're going to be doing a course on prayer ministry. And for our personal devotion, our connection to God, we might pray in tongues. Now that could become a barrier to somebody else, and so a suggestion would be, I'm just going to pray in tongues, is that okay? Just to get that permission, so that nothing gets between the person that we're praying for and God. So order, one or two, and in order. And then in verse 29, Paul turns his attention to prophecy. It says two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. If people were shouting out words from God in the way in which we were talking earlier, nobody would hear what was going on anyway. And these are precious jewels. To hear from God and to share with the church is a precious thing. So it needs to be done in an orderly way, and it needs to be done in a way that people will be built up by it. So we have to be careful. It's not uncontrolled. And God spoke is not a trump card. People say, well, God has laid this on my heart, therefore you've got to listen to me. Well, that's all about you. That's not about God. So God spoke is not a trump card. So with prophecy, it's shared and then it's weighed. Is this in line with Scripture? Is this encouraging? Is this in line with the picture we've heard before, or a word or a line or a hymn that we've heard before? Is it something that we can recognize as building up the church? Is it for us? Don't all talk at once. That's the rule at school, so it should be the rule at church. Don't all talk at once, so that we can understand what's going on. And we need to be careful with interpretation as well, not only of a word in English or if it is a tongue. And I heard this story recently about in Wales, road signs need to be in English and in Welsh. And there was this road sign, and it was about goods vehicles not being allowed in because it was a domestic area. And so the person who was getting the sign made up sent off the wording to the translation department, got the response, and then got the sign made up. And so this sign was up, and then all these Welsh speakers were phoning up the office to point out that what this particular Welsh sign said was this. I am currently out of the office. Please submit all work to the translation team. We need to take care with interpretation. We also need to take care as to how the message is delivered. Everyone should be instructed and encouraged, and we need to weigh what is heard. There was a time in one church I was familiar with where, when it came to prayer time, they used to hand a microphone around. And anybody could speak into the microphone directly to everybody in the church. Which is okay when it works, but quite dangerous when it goes wrong. And on this particular occasion, there was a visitor. It's the first time she'd been to the church. She considered herself a prophet. Now, to be fair, she'd been handed the microphone twice before and said, no, I'm not going to say anything. But on the third time, she did. And it was a word basically telling the church what to do. And it caused utter chaos. Those who got excited about these things got very excited about these things. And there were some strange noises and things going on. And at least three people walked out of the church. It didn't build up the church, it split the church. And so when we hear something, it needs to go through the authority of the leadership. And one of the burdens, if you like, of leaders do it diligently, Paul said, is to have that responsibility to filter what comes from God so that we can identify that which can be shared and that maybe for which it's not the time. Or maybe are concerned that it's not actually a prophecy, particularly if it doesn't build up. So there needs to be order in the way in which these things are shared. And in verse 32, the spirit of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. The spirit of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. So we need to be hearing from God as a church and then weighing and looking at other words that we might receive. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. These other churches are doing it. Corinth, you're getting it all wrong. Now, there are two types of word that we might get. It could be a prophetic word for an individual, or it could be one for the church. But the spirit, the gentle spirit in which is offered is this. I offer you this. I offer you this. I knew somebody who thought himself a prophet, who used to not only receive the message and deliver the message, he felt it was his responsibility to make sure that message was put in place in quite a forceful way. No. He was told, you're the postman. You deliver the message. That's all God wants you to do. You have no responsibility for what happens to that message once it's delivered. You deliver, and then whoever receives it can weigh it and can decide what that means. So these sorts of things, we say, I've got a picture. I offer it to you. Does that mean anything to you? Not, this is what God has said, and you've got to do this. I offer this to you. It's a gentle spirit. It's done in love, and it's done to build up, to strengthen, and to comfort. Is that okay? What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Therefore, be eager to prophesy. Do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. We're going to have an opportunity just to spend some time in God's presence. It's an opportunity to ask for tongues if we don't pray in tongues. It's an opportunity to pray in tongues quietly if we do. It's an opportunity to ask for the gift of prophecy. If we think we're a prophet, it's an opportunity to ask God for a word. Or it's just an opportunity to spend time in God's presence and asking Him to do what He will do. But spending time in God's presence, you'll not be the same coming out as you go in. He will always do something with us. We may not perceive it, and it may not be what we ask for, but He will always do something with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the instruction and the guidance that Paul gave the church in Corinth, that he was able to redirect them in the way in which they gathered, and the trust that they can put in You. Father, I've given lots of words, and we pray now for Your power to come in this place. We ask You to speak to us today and every day, to build us up, to strengthen us, to comfort us, so that we can be more of the church that You need us to be. And for those who don't pray in tongues and those who don't hear from You, let them have peace. Help us to be available. And where there are barriers or blockages or things which are preventing us from making ourselves available, Holy Spirit, help us to take those away. Come, Lord Jesus, move among Your people and move Your people. In Jesus' mighty name.